You've arrived here at a critical moment. Tune in on real self-knowledge and creative power.
Welcome to the Well Fit with Lockie Stewart podcast. This show aims to help men improve themselves physically, mentally, and emotionally, covering topics of fitness, mindfulness, and spirituality.
So basically for myself, I would say I'm between like a fitness coach and a life coach, but I don't like to call myself either or, just for my own reasons. But I like to think I'm just a elite performance coach, just working with high-end businessmen in the city here in Brisbane, helping them work through mental, emotional, and physical barriers. So basically to just look, feel, and perform better. So for me, how I got into that, I think it's been a journey of multiple paths, but it all started, depression, anxiety has been in my life since I've been growing up through family, my own experiences when I retired with rugby, and then through that, then getting heavily into personal development, which originated with network marketing, led me down the path of realizing that I could be more, do more, and have more. And because of that journey, it started eventuating. I just started sharing my journey through Instagram, which is the beauty of Instagram. More and more people started reaching out to me for help, for coaching. And it wasn't until literally 18 months ago that I actually started coaching people again, like from a fitness standpoint. And that was when I got my first main client, Miles, who's a really good friend of mine now, who first of all invested in me to help him with some mindset stuff. And from that passion I was using, or from that experience, it was all based around just my own experiences and stuff that I'd learned. And then I was like, shit, maybe I can actually do something here, because I'm seeing results and people are actually benefiting from what I'm doing. So I was like, maybe I can make a business out of this as well, and do something that I'm really passionate about. So I got away from the network marketing and I've just gone hardcore with that. And through my experiences, like, I won't work with people who aren't going to engage in physical activity as well, because I don't believe you can have one without the other. Like, I want the holistic approach, really. So your physiology affects your psychology and vice versa. So I don't want to purely work with people who've just got mind stuff going on, and I don't want to work with people purely about fitness, because there's so much more to, there's experts doing that, right? They're performance athletes, all that sort of stuff, or psychologists, psychiatrists. I'm not qualified in any of that. I use my own experience and really help people find the connection between physical health and mental health.
Yeah. So, when you talk to your own experience though, that's all you have to do.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you have to have any great qualification, and I'm not disrespecting qualifications. I've been to uni and done all of that stuff, and there are certain things you have to have it for, right?
Yeah.
But how you and I attract clients are through personal experiences. It's not through anything I did at uni. It's through things I did in the military, real life experiences yep. that I've had. And the coaching space is becoming a really big one. And I'm a bit like you. I studied 4 years of life coaching. So I actually yep. studied
oh,
that.
Wow.
Yeah, so I did it like the full course.
What was that like? Did
I enjoyed it. Yep. I probably used 10% of it, if I'm really honest.
Yeah, right. Okay.
No disrespect to people in that field. I hate the word. The whole word sounds kind of wanky to me.
Yeah, I agree.
So I kind of struggle with that. And then I played with success coach, which still sounds just as wanky.
All bad.
If anything, I think we're mentors. We just mentor people through yep. problems. And what I found one of the biggest issues with life coaching was, and even business coaching, there was this bouncing ball model
yep.
for everyone. When I started Fighting Fit, 2003 or whatever in Toowoomba, none of this stuff existed. I hired business coaches. They were great for, you buy a product, you put a product on the shelf, you sell the product.
Yep.
But they weren't great for helping me through my challenges in my business. So when I coach people, it's very much fluid. Hey, let's see what's going on with you and what we can help you
exactly.
with. Exactly. So I reached out to you because obviously we've crossed paths. I wouldn't say we know each other really, but yep. we've crossed a lot of paths together. Yep. So there's a Toowoomba Brisbane connection. But it was your Instagram stuff that you just mentioned. I just kept seeing this stuff pop up. And even I think on LinkedIn.
Yep. I started using LinkedIn.
I've just started using it a bit this year. I see stuff pop up and I thought, I really like this message. Like, this message resonates with me, so therefore it might resonate with the people listening. And then so qualifications are great, but if that's all you're hanging your hat on.
Well, that's what I often find as well. Like, there's a lot of people who, when I was studying exercise physiology and exercise science, there was so many people studying that didn't even know what the inside of a gym looked like. So to me, that was like, I'd rather learn from someone who is so passionate about it, never went to university, but was just delivering results nonstop. And so that's why the way I look at what I do now is, like, I as yourself, we're constantly learning, constantly hanging out with like-minded people and learning from other people's experiences. And just in coaching itself, you learn so much from the person. You know, I think it's not a one-way street in coaching or mentoring or however you want to look at it. Like, I learn every time I interact with someone.
Well, one of the good things about social media, and social media gets a bad rap, people like you and I use it for a positive. I have people say to me, I got rid of Facebook and I got rid of Instagram because it was constantly putting me down. I go, well, you're following the wrong people.
Clearly
following the wrong people.
Yeah, yeah.
Because my Instagram and Facebook feed is just, it's full of positivity.
Yep.
It's full of people. And if I get someone, I'm all, everyone has a bad day. Yep. I'm okay with that. But if I get someone who is consistently just having a crappy day,
I
go and you can snooze them for 30 days.
Yep. It's
they pop back up and they give me another one. I go, that's, you know, you've got 60 days in the naughty corner.
Yeah, you're gone.
Because I don't need that. Yep. So that's a choice. People need to understand that's a choice.
100%.
But how good a medium is it for us to spread a message? And authenticity is key, and you can't really hide who you are. Like, you've seen, as in I've seen, I guess, the physical transformation in you. Yep. Like, you always looked fit, but in the last 12 months in particular,
it's gone
to like a whole other level. So how is it? It's impossible for someone not to be inspired by that. If I'm going to a health coach,
yeah,
it's, and I can say, holy crap, I thought you were fit before. It's got to work. I'm not saying, like, I'm nearly 50. We don't have to all walk around with a six pack. I'm not suggesting that, but you've got to live and breathe your thing.
100%. And I think it's having that authenticity in what you're doing. So you would be the same through coaching people. Like, I don't say my life's perfect and it's not, and I'm not always happy. Like, I even share on Instagram where I go through like my depressed states or sadness and stuff like that, because that's life, right? Like, yeah. I think anyone who portrays this perfect life, and that's why Instagram gets the bad rap, I feel, because there's a lot of people, and when you go back to authenticity being portrayed through it, I feel like people who do videos, like, you do amazing content, and through your podcast people can tell you're genuine, you actually know or passionate what you're talking about, but then I feel like a lot of people, it's just sex sells, and they might put a motivational quote. But you know, if I were to bump into them in the street, they would be so superficial and would have no substance.
Yeah.
So I think from that standpoint, that's why I love following people who do video content, because you can see through all the bullshit and you're like, that person is genuine.
Yeah, I don't need the bathroom selfie. No offense to these people, but I don't need the bathroom selfie with your bum hanging out and your big boobs and a quote, some sort of quote by Mother Teresa.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's like
keep her out of it. She's got nothing to do with this post.
Exactly. But you seem, and I to a degree, I understand why that. Like, obviously, in marketing, it's like the people who are posting it, they get attention, and everyone loves attention.
Yeah,
anyone who's saying they don't is full of shit.
Yeah.
But so they're getting, you know, gratification from that way, or recognition, significance, whatever it is. So it's like, well, if I'm getting it that way, let's continue doing it.
Yeah.
So even though
it's like a drug.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. It is like a drug. So I think from that standpoint, it's not good. But that's why I like yourself, I like to do audio, video, because I want to show that there's more to that. But I also do play the game a bit, where I'm like, righto, well, I can use my body to my advantage to get, you know,
you're showing the result.
Yeah, result. And I like to use that, whether it's, you know, people use it as, you know, sex sell, or it's an inspiration for some people, whatever they get from it. If it helps people engage with me and know that I practice what I preach, then it's marketing.
Yeah, well, the other side for me, and so I'll give you my marketing angle. I don't think I've ever talked about this on the podcast. I want people to know me through my videos and podcasts, and if they do not like me or don't resonate with me, they never ring me, and we're okay.
Yep.
But the people who do ring me already know what I'm about. There's nothing hidden. This is just, you know what you're going to get. And sometimes when I do coach people, I can be a little bit blunt because I want them to get the result, and I tell them if they're hiding behind something. And at first I'll be shocked, and then they'll kind of go, oh, I kind of got that's how you are, and that's why I contacted you. Okay, well then let's not be upset about it. What's the, you know, what's the next step? That side of things for me is, and for you, people would know by looking at you, by watching your stuff, do I want to work with this bloke or not?
Yep.
They've made their choice already. The old days of putting up a flyer or posting something somewhere and hoping someone would contact you, this is so much easier to get to know people.
And then, you have to go the whole process of whether they actually vibe with you. It's like, it's all on here. You're going to get me. That's why we do so much content, right? Like,
I want to touch on MLM quickly because I've been one of the biggest baggers of it for a long time. and only because I've just been not – you were very different when you – I had a sense that's what you were into, but it wasn't really as obvious. Some people just smashed you with it all the time.
Yeah, I know.
And
I've had
the travel schemes, and I've had everything.
Yep.
And your side of things was different, but one thing I do like is the business aspect of it. I went to a key person of influence talk once.
I took
Alyssa to check it out because we, you know, just like to go and see that sort of thing. And down below us inside the convention centre was Isagenix.
Yep.
And it was pumping. It was like a Tony Robbins event. It was. So they're smart. They're hyping their people and they're giving them motivation or inspiration is a better word, and business skills, which is very, very intelligent.
And they do it super cheap as well. Like I was...
You probably had one of them as always.
I was probably downstairs there raving. But I think from that standpoint, like if I didn't have that in my journey, I would still probably be back in Toowoomba as a chippy and going through drugs and doing all the stupid shit that I was doing at that point in time. Like what got me into it was like what most people get into it for. It's like, oh, the dream life, the money, all that sort of stuff. But
laptop lifestyle.
All that sort of jazz. But what I got from it was so much more, if that makes sense. Like I'm not still doing it, but like it gave me the belief in myself. It told me or showed me what you could do in a positive environment. Then obviously, you know, the personal development, I was getting, you know, incredible speakers and stuff like that for $150. I never had invested in myself ever. I think the first event was $30 and I was like, that's a carton of beer. And now it's like you paid grand, like thousands of dollars for...
How old are you now?
27.
Oh, mate, you're still a baby. And I don't say any disrespect, but... I love your generation at the moment. The 20s through to the, even that mid-30s, they're just vibing. They're pumping right there. And I think, geez, I wish I got into this stuff at that age.
Yeah.
But the internet wasn't around. You had to know someone. Yeah, you had to see something. Someone had to invite you to a thing.
Yep.
I think, to be honest, Amway was probably the big thing back then that did something similar, and it was people recruiting people, which wasn't done on social. So you guys are fast adapters. You make decisions, you move on them. I also like the fact that, you know, you do share the downside of your journey. I do as well.
Yep.
But I'll only share it if I put a positive message to it.
Yep.
So, for example, anyone that follows me will know that my son Christian's nearly 15. He's intellectually impaired, so he's got a mental age of 5 or 6.
Yep.
He's in year 9 at school, but he's at grade 1, term 1 maths and prep English. So that's kind of where he's maxed out. And he's autistic. So, and that's been tough over the years. So I'll sometimes share, and he's a beautiful human. He's an amazing kid, but he's tough. And I'll share, used to in those older days when he had a lot more meltdowns, I'd share some of that stuff and how it made me feel.
Yep.
But always with a positive of, you know, and same if I just have a bad business experience. I've had a couple of those.
Yep.
Or I don't sook about them, but I will highlight them. And at the time that they're happening, I'll go, I need to work my way through this, so walk my talk, and then I'll share this in 12 or 18 months' time
with people
about how I got there.
Yep.
And that's where I think that stuff works. When you can be authentic about it, don't pretend everything's great. Mate, I have days where I couldn't be bothered getting up and going to work either.
Yeah.
So that happens to all of us, you know.
Exactly.
So did you find that challenging, sharing that stuff initially?
Yeah.
You know, depression, any of that sort of thing?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I didn't really – this was how like I didn't know what it was that I was experiencing. Like that's how uneducated I was about it. So like I grew up in my brother was suffering many years before me, and I was just always like hard in the fuck. Can I swear on here?
Yeah.
Sorry. Hard in the fuck up. Like just suck it up, because that's what I'd always done, and that's how I'd grown up. So I like when I look at it now, I was always looking for dad's affection, and like I was a good runner. Like that was my best sport. But I chose the rugby route purely because that's where I got the appreciation and recognition from dad, right? And so when you're in that environment, it's like the rugby culture, from my experiences, there's no vulnerability. Like it's suck it up, harden up, like the general stuff, right? So you're bottling all this stuff up, and then when you see a mate or your brother or someone else going through that, you say the same thing because it's like, well, I've been fucking dealing with it. So if I can deal with it, you should be able to deal with it as well. But we all know it's all circumstantial, right?
Yeah.
So when I still remember there was one day in particular, I just moved back. It was just before I moved to France to play rugby, and my brother was trying to take his life again. So, and mum called me and she's like, you got to get home. The whole trip home, so I was in Toowoomba, we lived out at, like half an hour out of town, I'm going to beat the shit out of this. Like, it was all about me, and I was angry because I was like, I'm dealing with all this other shit in my life. I don't need hit. Like, he's selfish, right? He's not thinking about mum. He's not thinking about me. I'm leaving work. All this sort of stuff. So it wasn't then, like, when I was talking about depression, like I was suffering from it, but I didn't even know what that was. Like it was just like, I'm sad, but I'm tough, so I'm going to get through it.
Yeah.
Whereas I was watching it in unfold for him in a different way, and he wasn't dealing with it. He wasn't sucking it up. So then when I went away for 2 years or 18 months to France, and when I came back, like, I went through that. Like, I went through the whole loss of identity. I was like, all I ever wanted to do was be a professional athlete, and now I was back in Toowoomba, had no fucking idea what I was going to do. So no one gave me recognition. No one really gave a shit about me. I had no idea who I was, what I was going to do. And I just had that empty feeling. And that's when drugs and alcohol really crept in for me. But it was also the first time that I started to understand what my brother was going through. And I was like, fuck. Like, this whole time I've been telling him to harden up and bottle it up and do all this. And now I'm struggling. I really need help. And I didn't really know how to go about it, because I was worried about, if I said something to my mates, they'd be like, hard enough, like the same old response.
Yeah.
So when I first started sharing it, I didn't really know how it was going to go down.
Yeah.
Like,
I was thinking that's a big step.
Yeah. But I've just, like, I share everything just purely because everyone goes through it, right? Like, and like, I've had mates commit suicide. I've had my brother try to commit suicide. I've never thought about it, but I've been, like, severely upset with myself and got to the point where I was eating enough drugs that I didn't care whether I didn't wake up. But obviously that was not intentional. It was just stupid at the time.
Yeah.
So when I started sharing, it was almost like I felt awesome. Like, it felt like a weight off my shoulder, and I didn't really know what the reaction was, whether people were going to say, oh, you're just doing it for attention.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't really know.
You know what? Some people might think that,
yeah,
but it's, who cares?
Yeah. Like, and to be fair, I think the reason why people think that and why I thought that was because most people are suffering with some sort of shit. So they think to themselves, well, I've been through something like that, or I've been through something worse, which most people have, right? Everyone's story is different, but yeah, no one talks about it. We talk about every other challenge we have in our life, whether it's, you know, boyfriend, girlfriends, failing at school, but we don't talk about the main ones.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, I think then having been vulnerable through that, that's where a lot of people have been like, oh, you've talked about it. Like, how'd you get through it? Da, 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 da. And I think from my story personally, like, I've seen what it was like when I was so far into myself that I didn't give a shit about my brother, to then going through it myself. So I can sit on both sides of the fence.
What was, for want of a better word, what was rock bottom? Or what was that point where you said to yourself, I'm going to do something different, or something's going to change, or, you know, is it something that crept up? And can you put a finger on it?
100%. So there was one night, and this was actually just before I met my partner. And we went out one night, and I was on drugs, and it was just after a footy match. I'd hurt my shoulder, but we got into a big fight, and I still remember I pushed the guy. Anyway, whatever happened, and so I got in trouble. And when I got obviously arrested from that, but sitting at the bottom of the stairs, and the cops let me go because the guy who I'd got in the altercation with, his mate, was like, wasn't him. So it was just like the biggest relief ever. But I still remember, as part of that incident was happening, it just scared me sober. And that was the moment where I was like, I know I'm meant to be doing more than what I'm currently doing. And every time I, you know, drink or have drugs, like, it's not helping me. So it was from that point that I was just like, fuck this, I'm out of here. So came to Brisbane, I was like, I'm not drinking anymore. Ironically, I drank that night. But I met my now missus. Yeah. And I think it was that breath of fresh air that when I met her, I was like, righto, this is one chance. Because before that, I'd cheated on previous partners. I was violent. I was fucking angry. Like, everything was my own fault, and I was like, this is a perfect chance to start fresh. Like, she knew, my missus knew none of my friends at the time, so I could just literally start fresh. So for me, it was just like a new beginning, and I ran with it. And then I was like, right, I get to recreate who I am, but that had to start with figuring out who I was and what I actually wanted. So, like, the first 2 years of being with Amy was literally, I was going to all these personal development events, obviously through the MLM, and constantly reading, constantly, like, making new friends, just trying to figure out who I was and what I wanted. And I think that never stops. That's why I am where I am right now, because I'm constantly looking to learn and grow and how I can impact more people. But I think now more than ever, I'm clear on where or who I am and what I sort of want to do.
I don't reckon it ever stops either, that learning. Like, nah. I hope it doesn't for me. I didn't start on this path really until I'd been on a deployment just before East Timor and got to see a really different part of life in a country in the North Solomons in Bougainville.
Yep.
So, and they've been at war with PNG. So they're technically Solomon Islanders, but they're owned by PNG.
Yep.
Australia actually did that handover at the end of the Second World War because you know, it's all the same to us. We had no idea. And they've been at war ever since. They've been fighting with each other, but particularly for about 25 years. When I went over there, the whole country was flattened. It was, there was not a building left standing, burnt to the ground over 25 years of war. These are things right on our doorstep that we've got no idea are going on. And I just started to see a totally different side of life. So I started that process a bit late. You know, I was already older than you are now. But now I'm 46 and it is addictive and I hope I never stop. I hope I never stop growing. I hope I'm always buying books. Alyssa's the same. She's 21, my daughter. Yep. We both laugh at the fact we cannot walk into bookstores because it costs us a fortune.
Yeah, I'm the same. I love going into the city because I go to the bookstores. It's weird.
But they had her in for a book signing of her book when it was released in at the QBD, and I think it cost me more than anyone made. Because I took the little kids in with me, and we end up with bloody 10 books each.
Yep.
And I've always got a pile of books I'm behind on, but... Yep. I'm just addicted to that, constantly wanting to put good information in. I don't want to sound all cliche, but I very seldom watch TV, particularly pay TV. Yep. I'm generally watching, as in free-to-air TV, I'm generally watching, downloading something on Netflix if I want to watch it and then move on.
Like,
you don't have to do all the ads and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I hope you never stop learning, mate. Yeah. Like, I'd be surprised if you did.
I think anyone who is exposed to personal development and see that they can, you know, be or have whatever they want from their life, like, when you know that, you can, like, it's hard to stop. I agree. I think both of us aren't gonna stop. It's literally addictive, and I know every day I get up earlier, like half an hour minimum, to read, because if I don't start my day with growth, like, makes a massive impact on my energy throughout the day.
Yeah. And you know what? There'll be some people, well, I'm probably not listening to this show, but there'd be people, if we sat and spoke about this, who would go, oh, it's all garbage. I get that a bit. Mm. I get people go, don't believe in that stuff.
Yep.
You can't positive think your way out of everything. No, of course you can't. But you're certainly not going to negative think your way out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
someone said to me once that positive thinking doesn't fix everything, but negative thinking doesn't fix anything.
Yep.
And that's become my belief. And so I don't try and force that belief on people now. I used to. A few years ago, I was really arrogant, and I used to think I could help everyone. You can change everyone. But now I realize you can't. People have got to want to change. So what I got onto was the fact that when I have events that I run, sometimes I have 20, 30, 50 people in the room, and there's one or two there that go, oh, it's all bullshit. And that's okay. You can have that.
Like,
if you're happy with your life and that's your attitude, generally they are the people who come back to me at some point and go, I'm kind of not happy with my life. Well, would you want a clue why?
Yeah.
Because while people are trying to help, you're sitting there just bagging this whole concept out. And then people say to me, you can't possibly be this happy all the time. Well, I'm not, but I reckon 90% of the time. I have far more good days than bad days now.
Yep.
Now, 2-3 years ago even, that wasn't the case. That's just been a constant approach. But now I'm surrounded by better people, and I get to sit down with people like yourself and have these sort of conversations, which the listener will love, but I'll walk away from feeling empowered too.
Yeah.
When you're talking before about needing the likes and all that, I also think I don't care what anyone thinks. I don't need the likes, but you do. You get addicted
sucked
to it.
In, yeah.
I'll post something up, and I used to think if it doesn't get a minimum of 50 likes, then obviously it doesn't resonate. Or this podcast now, like, we'll do 110 to 120,000 downloads this year.
Yeah,
and I'm not going to lie, I enjoy that. There's ego. One, I like the fact that so many people care, but also to listen, but also think there's a bit of ego in that, going, hey, I created something that 120,000 people this year wanted to download.
Yeah.
Now, my first 18 months, it was 30,000 people, and I'm sure that was family and friends I kept sending it to.
Yeah.
But that's how we start, you know. So to now, you do get sucked in by the numbers, but then if you've got the right people around, you keep a level head on that stuff as well. So
I think it's important, like you said, like with the ego. So my biggest thing is keeping my core values on my screensaver, but one of the biggest ones is appreciation. And I always craved appreciation and recognition. I still do, but I was always worried about wanting that and thinking that's a part of myself. I was like, oh, you're arrogant. You shouldn't want that. Like, we shouldn't want to be respected, appreciated, or recognized.
Yeah.
And so same with ego. Like, I love, like, you, when I do my podcast or get a heap of likes, I'm like, fuck, that one must have been a banger, even if it was terrible. Yeah. Like, but...
Look, there are times when I share something and a heap of people like it, and I think, what are you liking? Because I don't think it was that good.
Yep.
But other times I'll share my heart and soul, and, you know, maybe not many people like it or not as many. I actually was similar to you, so needing I moved out of home by 15, needing that love and appreciation of family. We just didn't have that growing up. My old man was quite a violent drinker. And, you know, I hold no bad feelings about him. Now we're not close, but it is what it is. But I needed that same constant recognition or appreciation. But I viewed it as a weakness. I felt like, well, you've got to be weak if you constantly need people to appreciate what you're doing. So the more I wanted that, the more I hated myself for being weak. You know, and I'm 110 kilo, former soldier. Like, oh, I had to be tough, man. Like, so I hated weakness. Now, if I'm not good at something, I don't care as much.
It's interesting hearing that point of view around that, because I can imagine there's shitloads of people who have the same thought pattern.
And when I joined the army and when I was boxing and kickboxing competitively, the army rewarded, when I joined in the early 90s, the alpha male. It was mostly a male dominated, you know, sort of thing back then, but they encouraged my sort of personality disorder, and it was a disorder. I was like you. I was angry. My road rage was phenomenal, pulling people out of cars. I remember when my kids were, I don't think I've ever spoken about this on air, but when my kids were 5 or 6 years old, or 4 and 5, they were going to Glennie, so they're in prep and grade one, so they're going to a good school. I was in the army. This guy in a Mercedes cut me off, and I had this old Hilux, and I had to hit the brakes, and I was really angry about it. And then he stopped at the lights on West Street there in Toowoomba, and I jumped straight out of the car, no thought for the two kids sitting in the car, and gone up and banged on his window, and he cracked his window just a little bit, and he said, oh, what's up? And I just went off. So you fucking know what's up. And I just got really angry, and he drove through a red light to get away from me. Like, I look back at that now, and that's embarrassing to think that you had that much rage. Now people cut me off, and I was with a mate of mine, you know, some time ago, his wife, and she was a boxer that was competing with me, and so was he. He wasn't there. This guy cut me off, and I just slowed down a bit. She said if Scotty was here, he would have went off about that. And I said, yeah, so would have I once, but I've changed. So, I used to be terrible.
It's so funny to see how that is, but most men are like that. Like, we're just – do you think it comes from bottling –
My man's a big guy, like bigger than me, like, you know, a couple of inches taller and heavier and strong. He was always a big, and he was very violent and alpha and fighting all the, like, even when I was in primary school, we'd go out to parties and barbecues and things with family, and he was always in a fight, like, you know, and people were scared of him. He was a big, hard man. But we liked that in a way, because if he had that outlet, then we didn't cop it. But yeah, I think there was all that be tough, boys got to be tough. We would grow up with that. You don't sook, you don't whinge, and that was how I am. And I ruined a lot of relationships through having no emotion. And then people, you know, girls are going out and think that no emotion means you don't care. It's not that. It's just that it was a weakness to show that emotion. And it's not that you didn't feel those things. And now I'm totally cool with who I am. I feel the need to impress people that you can have that weakness sometimes, and you have down days and whatever. But
it just feels good, like, sharing your emotions.
And I've got 4 kids, obviously, aged from 23, my oldest daughter, Brooklyn, right down to Samantha, who's 11. And my younger 2 kids get a different side of me to what my older 2 got. My older 2 girls are really tough, in a good way, but they're tough. But, you know, they don't hug, they don't, because that's how we brought them up. We don't either. My younger 2 are hugging all the time, and my older girls will go, don't you get sick of that? And Dad was so much tougher when he was in the army and when we grew up. So they liked the toughness. But I liked the softness of my 11-year-old and my 15-year-old, nearly 15-year-old, still wanting to hug me and kiss you on the lips and all that stuff that I just, I cut the girls off from that at a really young age. I think bottling emotions, I think buying into a stereotype, you tell yourself a story enough about who you are, and that's who you become.
100%.
Then you start to realise we can tell that story in the opposite direction too, right? So you could be that cool guy out, you know, raving, partying, doing drugs, and you're kind of cool, but people don't realise you're actually masking something else. And then you're self-destructing over time, and then if something happens to you, it's, oh my God, I can't. Lachlan, that couldn't happen to him.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but then you become an afterthought. People remember you every year or so, and 2 or 3 years later they've moved on.
Exactly.
Now you get to impact a huge amount of people's lives. So let's talk a bit about your message, I guess. What is your message now? What is it that you're putting out there constantly on your socials? And we'll talk about where people can follow you and all that sort of stuff, but what do you hope people get out of following your stuff?
I just want people, especially, like, obviously aiming at men more specifically, but just to know that they can look, like, obviously physically look and feel, like, feel mentally and emotionally and perform better overall. Because I think when I retired from rugby, I didn't really give a shit about my health. Like, I've always been, you know, fit looking and athletic. So I don't think I can ever understand what it's like to not. So I'm grateful from that aspect, but I also know how much it's helped me achieve just feeling confident in my own body, confident with my shirt off at the beach and all that sort of stuff. So I think, you know, feeling good about yourself and how you look is incredible. Feeling then obviously good mentally and emotionally. So obviously the thoughts that you have about yourself, your self-talk, all that sort of stuff, because most people hit the snooze in the morning, get out of bed, and they're stressed. So they're talking about, you know, how, whether they're lazy, I'm tired, constant negative thoughts that they're feeding themselves with. And obviously, as you said, what you keep telling yourself ends up being the result, right? And it's, I'm stupid, I'm not good enough, I can't achieve that, right? And then comes the ripple effect of that is the sadness onto depression, onto anxiety, because we don't have the belief in ourselves that we can understand what anxiety is. And to me, like, when every time I get anxious, I'm just focusing on the future and creating stories in my head. But if I then have, because I have the awareness around it, I'm like, chances are 99.9% of that is never going to happen. Yeah. I'm just consuming my own mind and wasting time when I could be present right now and focus on something else. And depression, to me, like from my experiences of it, is just, you know, focusing on the past and always coming from a place of lack rather than understanding the abundance that we can create. Like, I think, you know, showing people, for me, the first book I ever read was The Four Agreements, if you've read that.
Yeah.
And it was boring, so boring, so boring. But when I finished that book, I was like, for one, I was so stoked that I'd read a book and I actually learned so much from that book. So now to be able to guide men and use, you know, whether it's they're coming in for the first time for their first gym session and setting those goals, helping them tick off some small ones, and then they're like, shit, I can actually achieve something. It's like, okay, well, let's take you to the next step and start working on your mind as well. And let's show you what you're really capable of, because we're all playing small. We're all stuck in limiting belief, because that's, you know, most of our beliefs that we've adopted from, you know, our previous environment,
society, education, religion, whatever it can be, whatever
it is. So most of us don't even know what we truly value. So you know how when you, like having a chat with you, it just feels like we've been mates for ages, right?
Yeah.
And then you might meet someone else this afternoon and you're like, I never want to see that person again. Yeah. And it comes back to, obviously, for one, you know probably what you value highly and I know what I value highly. And when they connect, it's just like, it's insane.
Makes sense. Yeah,
it makes sense. And then if you're talking to someone whose values, like for me, if I hang out with people who all they want to do is get pissed, I'm just sitting there going, get me out of here. This is wasting my time. Because, and no one's wrong or right.
No,
it's just we've got different sets of values. So being able to then help men especially, and obviously anyone, understand what they truly value and how they can get more of that in their life and set it as priorities is a massive part of the feeling thing. And then obviously to then go on to perform, if they've got their, you know, looks, they feel confident in who they are, and mental and emotional health is on point, they've definitely going to perform better overall.
The Building Better Humans podcast with your host, Glenn Azar.
It's actually interesting. We think body image, let's talk body image, you're related to women straight away. And one thing I can say as a bloke to women is guys care just as much.
Oh, 100%.
So they might try and pretend they don't.
100%.
But they do care when they, and just so we get to a point where we go, well, this, I know at my age group, blokes go, well, I'm 40. So this is just what it is now. And that's garbage these days.
Yep.
So yeah, guys do care about how they look, there's no doubt. But there's also a massive tie-in to physical health and mental health.
Yep.
So you don't have to, not everyone has to look like you to feel better about themselves. And we saw that, I've seen that firsthand in when we went to Timor, when we went to Bougainville, the people who were fitter and healthier and turned up to PT more often, because in the army, PT was compulsory, which means 50% of the people don't want to be there. They're there because they can't get out of it.
That would have been hard for the PTs. That would have been
like, it's a lot harder than Civvy Street where people turn up because they want to. Or you would get all of these older sort of sergeants, warrant officers, even some of the older junior NCOs, corporals, who are only there if they couldn't find somewhere else to be, and they can generally find somewhere else to be. So then when you get deployed overseas, these are the people that struggle, because it's hard, you're carrying a lot of gear, you're away from home, you don't have the connection that we have through social and that when we go and do what we do. We found they were the people that folded the most. So I've seen an absolute 100% correlation. Now, not everyone's going to go to war, and I get that.
Yep.
But it's got to help you in your business. It's got to help you in your personal life, in your relationship. If you feel better about yourself, it's got to. It's all of that. So,
Well, that's. It's literally like everyone should be able to run a kilometre, 5 to 5 kilometres comfortably. Like it's looking after your body. If you can't do that, like if someone was going to chase you down the street or someone stole your handbag and you couldn't chase them, like what the fuck's going on? Like, a kilometre is not very far, in my opinion.
And one chin up, right?
Yeah.
You've got to be able to pull yourself off the side of a hill.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
just one time.
Yeah, just one time. That's all you need.
That old cliffhanger.
Yeah. But that's it. Like, people think that when they think fitness or gym, they automatically think Instagram model in this day and age, or otherwise like Arnie or, you know, all these. That's not fitness. Like, that's...
That's their level of fitness, yeah, I guess, but it's not like, everyone's.
Are you training for health or for fitness? Like, when I say training for health, it's the ability to be able to do day-to-day life comfortably, right? But then obviously if you're training for fitness, like I am, like for a specific fitness goal or performance goal, it's completely different, and you structure your lifestyle differently around the health side and the fitness side.
I think there's again, people get trapped between athletes.
Yep.
So you look at CrossFit.
Yep.
And if you're competing at a regular competition, you don't have to go to the CrossFit Games, but you're an athlete.
Yeah.
Because you're competing at something, to me. So but there's a difference between that and just going to the gym for health reasons.
Yeah. It's completely like, athletes are building, majority of them are building their life around the sport.
Yeah.
Whereas most people, 90% of people are building, you know, allowing fitness or health to be a part of allowing them to live every day.
It should
better.
Be the supporting structure of them.
Yeah. Exactly. It's just like, and obviously the gym, I train out of, there's some highly successful people, and you see them in there every day. Then they're super busy running multi-million-dollar companies. They've got families, but you still
see
them.
They find the time. Yeah,
they still find the time and they prioritize.
And for those listening, that's Function Well, and I can't remember what episode, but I did an interview with Darren Bain, the owner of Function Well, some time ago, and he's been sponsoring Alyssa for the last 12 months through her last Everest climb, actually. So she does go in there and train a lot. She trains at our gym, but she'll also go in there and train. She likes to train at 10:30 at night or 4 o'clock in the morning. Or
crazy hours.
She's got really... But then when she's climbing... You know, she might start her climbing rotation at 11 p.m. and finish at 8 or 9 in the morning. So she's kind of got to be able to perform that sort of night, because they go when the ice is most solid, which is during the night, to avoid sort of the danger. So, I don't mind mentioning the gym because, Bainey's been so good to us.
Yep.
But, geez, it is a high-functioning, high-vibe gym too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there are some – you surround yourself with the right people, you know, and that is – there is some just beasts in that gym. And I don't even mean physically. I mean business-wise, success-wise, the vibe in that place.
Yeah, it's insane.
Like, he and all of you guys involved have created something pretty epic.
It is a phenomenal facility.
And if you're in the PT industry these days and you're not doing mindset, you're so far behind the eight ball these days.
I think it's one of the biggest things. Like, to be fair, anyone can dish out a program, like whether it's a good one or not. People buy fitness programs off all these
For $49.
All these Instagram stuff. And to be fair, the people who get the best results are the people who are held accountable and actually just stick to something, rather than being like, all right, this week I'm doing the bum or booty burner, next week I'm doing the ab blaster. It's like they're constantly changing, hoping for that quick result.
Yeah,
and it's like, it's not the results a bonus. That's obviously where the motivation or, you know, the commitment comes from. But like, if you can fall in love with the process and the journey of actually showing up every day and why you're doing it to get a little bit better, right? The abs will come, the booty will come, all the fat loss will come. Like, it's just, if you don't get in there and fall in love with actually doing it daily. So we don't love it every day. Like, but
well, the vibe you want to create in a gym, in my opinion, when I had Fighting Fit in Toowoomba, I wrote a business plan all around the vibe I wanted to create, not the money. And because I was in the army at the time, I didn't really need the money. I had a wage. Maybe I'd be different if I was starting that from scratch and didn't have that backup. But what I understood was, not everyone enjoys physical training, but they all know the benefits of it.
Yep.
So my idea was to create an environment that they knew it was going to be hard, but it was such a cool environment, they wanted to come back as well. And so we had very little dropout over the years that I owned that. We had clients there who I consider friends and are friends of mine to this day.
Yep.
And people I've interviewed on the podcast and stuff even, who are still doing stuff and still contacting me regularly, who started with me back then in Toowoomba when I was... they didn't know me and I didn't know them. Just through shared experience. But that was the vibe we're trying to create. That, I know it's going to be hard, but it's also a fun environment.
I think that's a massive part of it, and it's like setting your standards and having your standards of how you want to be as a community or as a trainer, right? So last week I got rid of 5 clients purely because they weren't doing the work they were expecting, paying for one PT session plus like their accountability call to completely change their life, when I could see that they weren't doing any of the other, you know, exercises during the week. So
that's respecting your time.
Yeah, 100%. Well, that's like they people assume because they're giving me money that I want the money, right? That it's all about, it's not about the fucking money. Like, it's good, yeah, it's great getting money, but if I'm not getting results, like, long term my business is not sustainable.
Yeah, and you're a bad advertisement for me.
yeah exactly.
I had a woman like that years ago who would book in. She was very, very wealthy. She'd book in 6 training sessions a fortnight, so 3 a week.
Yep.
And she'd turn up to 1 a fortnight. And it was at 6:30 in the morning, which was a prime spot.
Yeah.
Was back when I was just PTing, I didn't have other staff.
Yep.
And so I read an article about sacking your clients if they're not the right clients. And I just said to her, to be honest, I could have doubled up. I could have put someone else in that time slot and got paid twice, and it only would have been a problem once every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But I just told her, so I'm not going to train you anymore. And she said, but I'm paying. I said, yeah, but you're not turning up. And she said, yeah, but I'm paying. I said, but I prefer you to turn up because, one, it's a bad advertisement for me.
Yep.
If you're walking around saying to people, I train with Glenn, and I'm going, well, hang on. People go, you haven't changed.
Yeah.
But you're not telling the truth of that story. And they're only half-hour sessions. So out of 168-hour week, you were committing 90 minutes to your health and fitness, and you couldn't even do that.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Now, I'm not judging you, but I've got to value my time.
Exactly.
And again, it was a time slot that filled so easily. Yep. So I became really acutely aware in our industry, pre all this online stuff, we sold time. And there's only 24 hours in a day.
Exactly.
And if you don't put any time in for ourselves, and when you first start out as a PT, I don't know if you did this, but you just take on as many clients as possible, and you end up so bloody fatigued and so disinterested in your own training because you can't fit it in. And you think, I got into this industry because I thought, I can be fit.
Yep.
And next thing you know, I'm not getting to train anymore. I'm not eating properly. I'm running down a coffee club in Toowoomba. I was running down a coffee club and grabbing a quick bite to eat and running straight back up to the next session.
Yep.
It was just crap when I look back at it. Started to weed all that out. When I sold Fighting Fit, I was running 5 sessions a week. And that was a group of guys. So I had 3 different groups of guys, all good blokes, businessmen and stuff. So there's 2 groups, and then Shane Webke. Just the 3 of them, 3 different groups, and him on his own. And he only wanted to train his own time. And I said, the only way I can keep training you guys is if you all come together, because I'm going to go more into running the business. I had 9 staff at that stage.
Wow.
So I ran those 5. They come together. They're still training together, not with me, obviously, because I'm not in Toowoomba. But then the rest of my time was marketing, was going out and talking to people. I was in the gym all day. I was in touch with how clients were feeling, how trainers were feeling. I understood if I created the environment for my trainers to be successful, then the clients were going to be happier as well. And that gym just went gangbusters. It spent 9 years breaking even. And then in 3 years, it went from 100 to 113% increase in turnover and profit every year for 3 years straight. It tripled itself. It was unbelievable. Yeah. And not that everything is about money, but I was working less.
Yep.
Whereas go back 3 or 4 years before, and I was doing 60 hours a week, 35 to 40 of that of PT, which is absolutely draining.
Yep.
And then 20 hours of trying to clean the place up and write some things. I was behind on my admin. I was having fights at home. Everything was going wrong.
Yeah.
But some people have to lose everything to realise where they went wrong.
Exactly.
And I'm one of those people, unfortunately. I feel like I've learnt now, but I'm one of those people that's had to lose things a few times to get the message.
Yep.
So I often say to people, whilst I read a lot, I'm sure I was a slow learner. Different now. I'm starting to adopt things a lot faster these days.
Yeah. Picking it up.
So there's a couple of things I was going to talk about there is ups and downs. So you have bad days the same as anyone else, whether it's a depression or anxiety or... before I go into that, I'll say to people listening to the podcast, a lot of people think that I'm really confident, and I am. I'm very confident. I'm very self-aware and all that sort of stuff. But I get anxiety too. And whenever I'm doing something new and putting myself out there, which we're doing with this whole Project 180 concept at the moment, last night, as we're recording this, this will go to air in a couple of weeks, but last night I woke up with incredible anxiety thinking, what are you doing? You've got such a comfortable business. You don't really have to change anything. You can just keep motoring along like that. And it kind of freaked me out a bit, saying, why are you taking this risk? But then I know why I'm doing it. I know that. But I still get it too. When you get it, anxiety, depression, whatever, just having a bad day, have you got a method? What's your turnaround?
Yeah, well, I've sort of, once again, when I was talking to one of my clients about this yesterday, like, I've told the people closest in my life, like, I sort of know when it's coming on, like, from the anxiety, if there's an event coming up which involves, like, going out or partying or being in big social spaces, I know anxiety is coming because I get that social anxiety purely because of that event years ago and because of what I was like when I was drinking. And I know I'm never going to go back there, but I still tell myself stories like that. What if I have too many drinks and it just happens, sort of thing. And then from the depression standpoint, like when I was in PNG been a couple of times this year for holidays, but there was one day where I literally just sat in my room for the afternoon because I was like, I hadn't been training, I hadn't been eating well. And if as soon as I put those to the side, like something that I value most, like I just feel like I hit this massive. I did a video while I was in my room because you know, I was like, this is, let's show what it's about. But everyone knows to leave me alone now. Like I've told my partner, I've told, you know, my closest mates, like if this happens and I just go off the radar or I'm like hanging out with you guys and I'm not interested, I'm not there and I'm seem like a bit standoffish and grumpy, like this is why. Just, you know, tell me to go hang out by myself because that's what I really need, or give me my book, like chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
That's what I need. And then with the anxiety standpoint, like I had a weekend away on the weekend. I had anxiety all week thinking about it.
Yeah.
And I was still a bit of a standoffish while I was there because I didn't want to go back to what I was doing. But all the stories I made up all week, you know, I kept being like, I know this is not going to happen. This happened years ago. I'm going to do this. There's good people going. I'm not going to be drinking. You know, I've got my book. I'm going to be training. I'm doing park run. Like, it's all good. So then after that, you snap out of it. Yeah. But, like, sometimes it just feels good to wallow in your own shit.
Yeah.
Like,
I was actually going to say that. I always say to people, like, I'll try lots of things. Music, throw on a podcast, kind of just get out of bed and start taking action for me is a resolution. So people go, oh, you're mad if you're getting up at 1:32 in the morning, which I do sometimes, but it's because I know if I'm having a bit of anxiety, the best thing I can do is start taking action, whether it's writing notes in a notebook.
Yep.
But there are days where you've got to let yourself have half a day or a day just feeling like crap, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if that becomes 3 and 4 days, you've got a problem and you need to fix it. But, sometimes you're just going to be okay with not being okay.
Yeah, 100%. Exactly. It's literally like you have day and night. You got to have happiness and sadness. Like it makes you appreciate being well. Right? It's like same with when I have rest days from the gym. I get so excited to go back the next day. Like what you take away, and if you understand that it's part of the process or part of your experience and journey, you can actually like you just said, wallowing for a day or half a day, like you can actually enjoy that. To looking back, I'm like, actually my body needed that. I needed to just sit there and think about whatever was on my mind, because every other moment of the day I'm on Instagram, I'm doing podcasts, we're constantly going, so we never get to be alone with ourselves. And being alone with ourselves for most people scares the shit out of them. Yeah. I love being by myself.
Yeah,
I love it.
It's one of the things I actually like about New Guinea, particularly Kokoda, is that you're not downloading fresh information every day.
Yep.
So therefore, you actually solve or resolve a lot of stuff when you're out walking.
Yep.
And you get to the end and you think, why was that such a big problem? Why didn't I solve that before? The truth is, you're just picking up new information every time your email beeps, your Facebook, your Instagram. I don't know about you, but I get messages on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn these days, emails, texts, and then people, and I remember seeing it somewhere. Yeah. People go, I message you, and I think, oh shit, where'd you message?
Yeah, we're going to go and find
it. Yeah. That is crazy. And if someone comes up with an app that sucks all those messages into one, they're going to make a mint.
Be phenomenal. I'm the same, because, and it literally takes opening a message, someone to call you, and then you've forgotten about it. Like, it's too busy, and people want your attention right now. If you don't reply, it's like, I'm trying not to. I turned all my notifications off apart from text messages, and I only tell my clients to text me. Everyone else, mates, obviously, but like anyone else, it's Instagram, Facebook. I'll check Instagram in the morning at night. Yeah. Facebook, I've still got messages from Monday sitting there, and I'll probably check them. Like I've seen them, but they're not important to me right now.
I'm really bad for responding immediately. And then when people don't respond immediately back to me, then I have the shit. Because I think, well, I'd respond to me. But then I realise that I'm creating this whole problem.
Yep.
So I'm the same. What I do every now and then is I'll delete the Facebook app off my phone, and then I'll reload it in a couple of days. And I find that I'm better at then just checking it.
Have you seen the new download on the phone? No. Restricts you? So, like, I've set my phone so every... all the apps, it turns off, say, for example, between 6 a.m. and 8 p.m.
Yeah, right.
Like, 8 p.m.
Is this 6 on the iPhone? It's the same as me.
Yeah, it's just the new update. And then you can set screen time. So I've got 30 minutes on Instagram a day. So as soon as it'll say you have 5 minutes left, and then it locks the app.
Yeah,
so obviously you can make the conscious decision to put the PIN code in and give yourself more time.
Where is that in your phone? Like, how do you find that feature? So it's not an app, is it?
No, it's just the new phone. So you go settings and then screen time.
Oh, right.
And then you choose. So it tells you app limits. Click on the app limits.
Oh,
and then you can set it for apps, which is cool.
I wonder if Samsung does that.
Maybe.
Yeah. So that's iPhone. We're not selling iPhones. That's iPhone.
No, it's just the new update. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Wow.
And then I just done the update. 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. So literally at 7:55 is that your phone shutting off.
I do turn my phone off at night now and generally don't have it in the room.
Yep.
Because I'm that bloke that would get up and go to the toilet or just roll over and look at my phone and then you're on.
Yeah.
And I tell people this all the time. They go, oh, but it's my alarm clock. Buy an alarm clock.
It's like $5. Yeah, come on. I used to say that too.
Yeah, and I was the same. And now I've got this old school alarm clock that's cost me $10. It's got a really low light because I don't like light in the room.
Yep.
But I know if I turn this thing on, that's it. I'm up.
You're using it.
Yeah, but your brain starts to go, what could possibly be happening on Instagram at 1:30 in the morning?
Exactly.
Nothing important.
It's literally, that's why I even have, because I get up at 4 or whatever, and I'd always be like, oh, Instagram, breakfast.
Yeah.
Well, I don't need Instagram till at least 6. So it's like...
To put that into context, when I'm doing Kokoda, I get off the track. So there's one day on Kokoda where you can get messages the first day on the actual track. Then after that, you can't. So I can get off the track. I'll open my phone. There'll be 100 or so notifications on all those platforms, maybe more, but you can clear them within 20 minutes. So realistically, if we're being honest, not that I could do this, but you could spend 20 minutes a week on this and still catch up.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, true that.
I'm not going to do it because this is my platform.
Yep.
This is how I talk to people. And for all the people that I do, I'm aware that I post a lot, 2 or 3 times a day sometimes. Yep. And I say I'll have a few days off and I don't. But I'm also conscious that I've had people reach out to me who've said how something I've done or said has changed something for them. From a 9-year-old girl, a mum pulled me up at a barbecue once and said, you don't really know me, but you took my husband to Kokoda a few years ago. My daughter's a gymnast. She's been getting picked on for her body because she's starting to get muscles and other girls are kind of saying, oh, you look like a boy, which she 100% doesn't. You posted something on Facebook. It was a quote with some words. We showed her and it stuck on her wardrobe 2 years later. You can say anything negative you want and that doesn't matter to me. I had an ex-warrant officer of mine who was in the Middle East and he was rotating between Iraq and Afghanistan for 18 months. It's a long time. Soldiers do not talk to each other about this stuff. Just one day out of the blue, he messaged me and said, I've been over here nearly 18 months. I've missed my daughter's year 12 formal. And I just want you to know that whenever I do get access to a computer every 3 or 4 weeks, the first thing I do is look for to see what you've written, and it's helped me get through this 18 months. He's never written to me since.
Yeah.
But that's a cool message to get. I don't care about the people who don't believe this stuff. I honestly don't. People listen to this podcast are into this stuff, or they're not listening. And the people who aren't listening, they've got to find their journey when they find their journey.
Exactly.
But again, like we started with, social media can be used for good or bad.
Yep.
Same as anything. You know, you can exercise to the point of unhealthiness. You can eat to the point or not eat to the point of unhealthiness. It's all relevant, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, it's how you do it.
So what's the next 5 or 10 years hold for you? Do you think about that?
Yeah, I do. I actually did a 10-year vision end of last year, and the goal was to be like one of the biggest mental health speakers in the world and to be Nike, and this is getting real specific, but be the first mental health speaker for Nike because they have a...
Instead of just athletes.
Yeah, just athletes, like... going there because they have a massive platform and then it obviously aligns with the healthy lifestyle as well.
Go Under Armour, mate. They got The Rock.
Yeah, true. I am similar builds. Yeah, but he's incredible. But so doing something like that, but I want to increase my public speaking and doing more stuff like that. And the social media, it's scalable, right? Like I know that if I work, the more time I do with one-on-one is limiting my scalability and impact, so I want to have a big platform online that allows me to impact people, whether it's a course but also do more speaking, be one of the best keynote speakers.
Who's the ideal person for you to get up in, like schools, corporates, like do you have it can be anyone obviously, but in your world, if you could be regularly booked out by someone, who would you be?
Mine would be literally for corporate, but aiming at men in the businesses between sort of 22 and 29, purely because that was where I struggled the most, because it's like you're coming out of university or you might have got your trade, or obviously with corporate, it's, you know, they've done their study, but they still have no idea who the fuck they are.
Yeah.
Right? They're still challenged with, like, let's go drink socially. I'm chasing women, wanting to climb the corporate ladder, but they still don't know what's actually fulfilling them. So I want to be able to... And the amount of people that I meet with in the gym or message me on social media and they're interested in getting fit. But it's like, if you don't get fit, like, don't get healthy, climbing the corporate ladder, all that other stuff that you think matters doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So if I could get in front of them and like potentially some mining stuff, just because I was, you know, did some building as well, so it sort of resonates, but just to be able to talk to more men to show, like, I've gone from here to here in the space of 5 years, like, you can do it as well. Like, we just got to, it's got to be a collaborative effort.
Well, I feel like it's becoming a less taboo topic, mental health and stuff amongst men.
Oh, 100%.
I feel like it's becoming a cooler topic. Like, obviously, Livin and all those sort of people have helped with that.
Yep.
And I'd love to get those boys on here. But, you know, go back 5 years, 10 years definitely, but go back 3 to 5 years and it wasn't a conversation blokes were willing to have.
Yep.
You had to be a man. You had to, you know, it was all about being the bloke.
Yep.
So that's changed, which I think is a positive. But as far as that sort of in that mid sort of to late 20s, yeah, by the time all of a sudden you turn 30... And people can be totally lost.
Yeah, you're supposed to have it all figured out by then. You should have had your house, your kids, your car by then.
Yeah, yeah. There's a program that you had to stick to. Yeah. And if you get behind on that program, you get lost.
You're done. Yeah. I think, you know, if I can keep impacting that age, because a lot, like, I'm that age, right? So I speak to so many people. If I go to the pub, you know, meet new groups of people, they're so fucking lost. And they don't even know how to talk about it.
Yeah.
So it's like, when I go into those conversations, it's like, you know, watching paint dry because it's so superficial and all they know how to talk about is the footy, the beer or girls. And it's like, I can see you're in pain.
Yeah.
Like, I can see you're just as bored as I am right now.
Yeah.
let's talk about something that's meaningful, because every conversation I have, I want someone to walk away being like, far out, that was insane. Like, yeah. I want to get to know more about Lockie and what he does.
You know what it is? It's leaving people, this is very cliche, but it's leaving people better than when you found them.
Yep.
And one thing I've become really good at in the last couple of years is I want people to walk away from a conversation, and you will walk away from this, and I'll walk away from this feeling energized.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We're literally just having a conversation that we happen to be recording. But I also got really good at getting rid of the people that didn't make me feel that way. So yep. I've got some mates and family members. People go, you can't choose your family. People I love, but I knew that I was feeling worse when I'm around them. So I just limit the time I'm around them.
Exactly.
It's not that I don't love them. It's not that I don't respect where they're at in their journey, all that sort of stuff. But I know I feel worse every time I hang around you. Then why would I increase the amounts of time I hang around
exactly.
you?
Exactly.
And that's what I became really good at. And as a result, and I talk about this a lot now, my whole circle has become different. It's become more positive. It's become, I feel more energized more often with the people that I hang around. Similar messages. You can have chats with people. You just get it. You just get it. You just feel better. You know, like, I can feel the energy now. It's a beautiful sunny day. Background noise. People can probably hear we're sitting outside again at the Back of Nova. I've done the last couple of episodes doing this, but it's too good a spot.
I wonder if they'll give us a segment on the radio.
I'll speak to Jay. Yeah. I had Jay on here actually once.
Oh, really?
He's the GM here. Well, they've changed the rules. They've changed the titles now, but that's his job. I actually did a leadership seminar with him, with Frankie Ryan, who's the CEO of Young Care, and with Kev Toonen, who's an ex-Special Forces soldier. So I wanted someone who's led people in combat, someone who's leading a charity, and someone who leads a corporate organisation and reports 6 weekly directly to Lachlan Murdoch. So I imagine there's three very different leaders.
Yep.
The leadership message was very much the same. So I actually found that quite interesting. I want to do more of those collaborative style. So I'd love to sit down with yourself and someone else in the fitness industry.
That'd be awesome.
And we answer some people's questions, or get three or four female business leaders. What's it like being a female in business? And there's going to be all these different formats to do as we explore, because we're like, this will be episode 103, I think, of the recorded episodes. And I only record the Sundays. All the other ones are just midweek motivation. They're not numbered. And I do a Monday morning one that's not numbered.
Yep.
So we've probably got about 180 episodes in the bag altogether. Yeah. Of something that started out as a hobby. I just thought, cool. I meet all these interesting people, I should talk to them. So one thing I did want to talk about is, like, Amy, your partner, is in an industry that's in the entertainment industry that's quite high pressure. How does she go with anxieties, depression, performance anxiety? What does she have any of those sort of issues? Or
I think, as everyone does, like, on social media, like, she's got such a big following, so people are always opinionated on what they're wearing, how they're doing.
They feel like it's okay to attack them because they've got a public profile.
Yeah, 100%. Right. I think, like, it's like people treat... I feel like when you get to that level, from my opinion, they become public property and people literally feel they can
you
say...
You kind of have to accept that, I guess. Yeah.
And they feel...
But it must upset her at times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. But she's good through it, and, like, she's doing a lot of work on herself, so she sort of understands that now, that, like, nothing is truly personal, because I think you can only be personal when you actually know the person. People just assume they do because they're following your account, or they follow your music. And I think you know, people are obviously going through their own battles and struggles. So
that's what I was about to say. I reckon that what the problem is there, if you can get yourself into this mindset that there's something going on in their life that they need to log in online and attack someone else, yep. there's something massively going on in their life. And if you learn to be okay with that,
yeah.
you can let it go.
Yeah, you're fine, because when you say it exactly how you said, you've got to log in, get on the account, leave a comment. That's a lot of effort.
Yeah.
Like, far out.
I've got friends' accounts, so I flick past and think, oh, I'll comment on that later.
Yeah.
So for someone to put that amount of effort...
to do it.
If you want to follow a really interesting one, and you may already do it, and I love human behaviour.
Yeah.
Ronda Rousey.
Oh, she's amazing.
Huge, yeah. big fan. Everyone loved her. As soon as she fell from grace... people started to attack her.
Yep.
Then when she finds a new career, like, you don't want to be getting beaten up your whole career. So she's found a new career in the, is it WWE?
Yeah, right, I think
she's in the wrestling. She's doing phenomenal. I would guess she's earning more there than she was in the UFC. Yeah, it's huge. Easily. But every single post, all of these, you know, UFC fans or closet fans, whatever, they start attacking her about being fake, about you ran away from the UFC. Do you know what? She got beaten twice in fight. She's changed that game for all women, and they know it. But people still, the things they write to her is absolutely disgusting. Now, she's got 10 million followers. So she puts a post up. She has 30,000 likes and comments within minutes. She wouldn't get to see all of them because you couldn't possibly read them all.
Nah.
But I think, what is wrong with you? And it's so much so now that a lot of the wrestling fans are writing, as soon as she puts up a post, they'll write, you know, butt hurt UFC fans in 3, 2, 1, and then bang. And it's exactly what happens. And people just get really aggressive and, you know, why don't you come back to the UFC and get your ass kicked again? And I think, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
This is a 30-year-old woman who's had a great career. Her last two fights earned her $12 million. She's doing okay.
Yeah, she's fine.
She's chosen to change careers, which she's totally entitled
to
do.
Which is awesome, because she could have literally done what you see a lot in the rugby league community. Their life after footy is like, who am I? What do I do?
She's got a history of mental health issues, funny enough. Her father committed suicide. You know, she's mentioned herself about it. And you still think it's okay to attack him? Like, I think, do people want people like this to kill themselves? Is that their ultimate? Again, what the hell is wrong with you? But she seems really cool with it. She seems like whatever, you know.
Yeah, it's human behavior. Like you said, it's
fascinating.
It's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting. I think it goes back to, like, Tony Robbins always talks about the six basic human needs, or what he believes
that,
are.
That's actually a psychology. Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Needs for significance.
Back to, like, I think people hope that they're going to get the reaction that they want, because then they feel significant.
That's their significance, yeah.
And it's like, whether you're taking the piss on someone or whatever, if it's good or bad, you're still getting that feeling of significance. And I think when you've done as much personal development as yourself and as I have, it's just awareness, right? It always comes back to awareness. So if you're aware that people, you know, could be commenting because stuff's going on in their life, you learn to just brush it off. But it could be actually reaching out to that person. From a mental health standpoint, it's like, why can't we just be like, right, this person's been an absolute dick to me, but let's try and help them through that. Because one of the things, you know, last week or the week before with Are You Okay Day, everyone jumps on the bandwagon, which is great for breaking the, you know, raising awareness. But then what happens the other 364 days a year?
Yeah.
I
actually read a quote that said, Are You Okay Day is great, but for the four of the other days, just don't be an asshole to people.
Yeah. That's a great quote.
I thought, yeah, that kind of works too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we are quick to bring people down, particularly when we're seeing people being, you know, doing really well in life. And the funny thing is, the people who are doing well in life, who have a good mindset, we're strong enough now, we've built that to be okay. So we say to people, believe in your dreams and you can do anything. But as soon as people believe in their dreams and can do anything, we think, oh, hang on.
Rip them down.
You've just gone a little bit too far.
Exactly. It's and I find it in Australia more so than anywhere else. So.
Yeah, but we talk about tall poppy. I'm sure it happens in America and other places. Yep. But yeah, it is definitely a thing of ours. And sadly, it's so well known in Australia that we've got a name for it, which is kind of sad.
It's crazy. And when you think about it, though, because so many people are preaching confidence and self-love, but then at the other side, where, like, tall poppy syndrome is exactly that. If you're too confident, you're arrogant and you're cocky, it's like, well, where am I supposed to be in all of this? Like, to feel good enough about myself to actually succeed and move forward without having people be like, mate, you're arrogant.
Be humble, show humility. Hang on. And I just did a post this morning on social media saying you can be humble and you can still know your value.
Yep.
And that's okay.
Actually,
but when most people are telling you to be humble, what they're really saying is, You think you're better than everyone else, so I'm just going to pull you down a level. And I remember I had someone said to me once, you know, oh, you think you're better than other people? And jokingly, I said, well, what if I am better than them? When am I allowed to think I'm better than people? What do you get out of thinking you're worse than other people?
Exactly.
You know? Like, that doesn't make much sense. Yeah. Mate, we could literally talk forever, and we've gone over an hour, which I normally try and stick to. So a couple of things, I guess, if there's any sort of final messages to leave people with, even if it was only one thing that you want them to take away from this podcast, what would it be?
I just want people to stop playing small. Like, wherever you're at in this, like, as you're listening to this, or, you know, there's going to be heaps of people listening to this, you can do more. Like, if you're, whatever you're scared about, say, when you said you get anxiety around, you know, getting into the unknown, it's like, get excited by it, because even if you fail, like, there's a lesson to be learned that's going to move you forward anyway. But if you stay stagnant, like, you're never going to feel better, you're never going to look better, and you're never going to perform better. So you just got to start moving forward.
Yeah, actually, that's something I learned, is that I actually enjoy the anxiety feeling.
Yep.
That's the one thing I loved about business. Years ago, I thought, I've got to get out of this business game, it's hard work. And then I started thinking, actually, this is a bit I enjoy, the unknown. Yep. You live by the sword, you die by the sword, you know, that's... Actually, one thing I was going to say very quickly, to go back to that social media stuff, it just popped back in my head. I love this quote that says, if you give people the ability to feed you, you also give them the ability to starve you.
Yep.
And how that translates for me is, I like it when people comment and tell me what they got out of something, but I don't hitch my wagon to it. I no longer go, I'm doing the right thing because people are giving me good comments. Because if I do that, I have to give equal credence to the bad comments.
Yep.
So I respect people sending me their messages and saying thank you, and I get it a lot off the podcast. I'll get emails weekly of people telling me what they've got out of it, and I love it. That's great.
Yep.
But I don't get myself worth out of it. I'm glad they got something out of it, because that's the intention, is for them to get something out. But I don't go, oh, I didn't get any of those this week, so maybe I'm not good enough this week. I don't do that. Because, again, if you give people the ability to feed you, you also give them the ability to starve you, and that's not that standing on your own 2 feet. So,
But
I want to ask you a couple of just more fun questions. Oh, no, before that, where can people follow you?
You can find me on Instagram at Lachlan Stewart, so LachlanStuart. And then I've got a website which will be up Sunday will be finished. It's just LachieStewartCoaching.com.
Yeah, cool. And you're often appearing in the Function Well stuff as well.
Yeah, so I'm always chase you on the trying Function to get well my stuff. Face on the Function Well Instagram.
Mate, you got a head for all that stuff. You're if you could have one superpower, what would it be?
Oh, shit.
These are meant to be those sort of questions.
Yeah, that's tough. I would have to go invisibility.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why would you want to be invisible?
Actually, not invisible, flying.
Flying,
just so, because when I was climbing the Story Bridge on Tuesday, and just like, it makes you appreciate how, or see how small things really are. And it's like, there's no problem big enough to be like, man, it's simple. Flying would be awesome.
What's one trade of yours that's got you into the most trouble?
One trade, probably being a chippy. Everyone's always asking me to do odd jobs, and I hate it.
And I'm not trade qualified, or I have no trade inklings whatsoever. Yep. I'll pay someone to come and put a shelf up. I'm hopeless.
I do. Like, I'm like, don't use me, pay someone else. Like, it's not a passion.
If there was an animal that was to rule the world, including the humans, if there was one animal, which animal and why?
I love the honey badger. I just think it's so good.
Because of The Bachelor?
Yeah. No, I just think we were watching, I remember in grade 10, me and my best mate. Do you know Hugh Tate?
No.
So he was a Toowoomba boy, but we're watching David Attenborough, and the honey badger like can get bitten by a snake and, you know, die for 15 minutes and get back up and keep going.
Yeah, right.
So he's such an incredible animal, and since then I've just loved it, because it was just like, it's just so elegant, but at the same time it's like a warrior. So I think like, learning from that, it has both the yin and the yang approach to life, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That's pretty cool. Mate, as always, I just like to thank people for giving up time, because, you know, time's the biggest commodity we can have. And obviously we touch a lot of people through the podcast, and now what I try and do is introduce people to people that I take the time to follow, and you're one of those people that I like to watch what you're doing, and
I don't
get to comment and like on everything, but I'm always watching what people are doing. So, mate, it was really good to have you on the show, and thanks for taking the time.
Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.